Welcome. You're listening to a three-part podcast series on the history of Dominican University of California, presented by Campus Ministries in the spring of 2017. This series has been organized by Sister Mary Sower and is made possible through the joint effort of Campus Ministries, the Communications Department, and Penguin Radio.
Well, good day and welcome. I am Sister Mary Sower, the Director of Campus Ministry. If you haven't already done so, please enjoy your lunch and help yourself to drinks and desserts on the back table. Thank you to Stuart Horn and Penguin Radio for recording this talk. This is the second of our History and Heritage presentations. You will find this recording and the February presentation as a link on the Campus Ministry homepage at dominican.edu. The format for today will be the presentation, followed by small group talk, and then question and answers for the group. I've passed out sheets of paper to write down any questions or thoughts that might come to mind so you can share them at the end of the talk. There'll also be a short evaluation for your comments, feedbacks, and suggestions for future topics or speakers. Thank you again for coming to Campus Ministries Heritage and History presentation, Tell Our Story, Growing Strong. Our speaker today is Assistant Director of Campus Ministry, Liani Castro. Liani first came to Dominican University of California as a student in 2000. During her 4 years, she earned her degree in music, classical voice, and a minor in religious studies. She returned to Dominican in August of 2009 after earning her MA at Villanova University in Pennsylvania. In her role as Assistant Director, Liani is the primary contact for students. She empowers them in their role as student leaders and is the welcoming face of campus ministry throughout campus. Please welcome Liani Castro as she continues to tell the story of Dominican, sharing about the growth, changes, and traditions of the students and the Dominican Sisters of San Rafael.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being here today. I have to say that being able to do research and take a deeper look at Dominican's history and heritage and stories has been really insightful over the past couple weeks. So when I entered Dominican in the year 2000, as a new freshman and student, there were similarities to today, but there are definitely differences. When it came to Dominican, the Collins Center had just been opened. Dominican had just shifted from Dominican College of San Rafael to Dominican University of California. And while I was here, it grew by 500 students from the time I was a freshman to the time I was a senior. On weekends, I remember that if everyone stayed on campus in the residence halls, we could all fit in that first section of Calarega where the salad bar is today. So it was a pretty different scene. I think sometimes they can also fit in that space too. But there was a different kind of feeling on campus. It was a smaller feel, which is funny because Dominican is still very small. So there are many memories that stand out to me and that are unique to my friends and to my Dominican experience. But as I've grown in knowledge about the university and its history and its heritage, and heard stories from numerous students and alumni, there are some truths that I feel have carried through Dominican's lifeblood since its inception. So Dominican can trace its roots all the way back to 1850, and if we're being detailed, all the way back to St. Dominic de Guzman. Guzman, get it? Guzman Lecture Hall, Guzman. And Dominic de Guzman, who's really started all. So we're named after a saint, not after the Dominican Republic. So in 1890, the Dominican Sisters of San Rafael filed articles of incorporation with the Secretary of State of California. As you can see, many of our buildings on campus all have a deeper meaning of where the names came from. So for example, if you look at, you know, as I said before, Guzman is Dominic's last name, Dominic de Guzman. We have Louis Bertrand, who is a Dominican saint. Calarega, Spain, which is the birthplace of St. Dominic. St. Catherine of Siena, which is our chapel. Raymond of Penafort, who is also a saint, and that's one of our residence halls. Fanjo, which is another one of our residence halls, is actually where St. Dominic began his ministry in France. Sadoc Alemany was the one who the library is named after Archbishop Alemany. Albertus Magnus, Albert the Great. Fra Angelico, so that's our performing arts building, Angelico Concert Hall. Martin de Porres, and there's quite a few other campus buildings that are named after significant Dominican saints or different historical figures of our Dominican history. So when we talk about growing strong, a lot of it has to do with the history of the Dominican sisters who began this university. And I wanted to tell some of the stories of the past presidents, because I don't really think we talk about them very much. And there's a lot of rich history and really interesting kind of things that happened with every single president that we've had at Dominican. So Mother Lewis O'Donnell was the president from 1918 to 1929. And it wasn't, so Dominican College of Santa Fe was established in 1890, but it wasn't until 1918 when the college evolved from a junior college to a four-year institution. And Mother Mary Lewis was the first Dominican president. She was also the prioress, and for a while, all the prioresses were also the presidents of the university, which is a pretty big job if you think about that. They were also in charge of the Dominican sisters, and they were in charge of a between 100 to, you know, later became 1,200 student college. So her big famous thing was that Mother Mary Lewis moved us from Benicia to San Rafael. And she said, if we do not move, we shall starve. She told this to the bishop. So they were pretty sassy ladies. And when she got here, she built the Mother House, which has since burned down, but that was a really huge building on campus up until the 80s. Next is Mother Raymond O'Connor, Dominican second president. She was known to say the motto a lot, to contemplate truth and give to others the fruit of one's contemplation. That's a very famous Dominican quote. And during her time as a prioress general of the Dominican Sisters and president of Dominican College, she did a lot to elevate both organizations. So as you'll hear, from in the 1930s, both Guzman and the library were built. So, or Guzman and the library was housed in Guzman. So there are quite a few buildings that were erected during her time. And there's also a scholarship named after her. Next was Sister Thomas Vaughn, and she was the president from 1935 to 1945. And she taught English and history and math and science and Latin, so lots of different subjects. And Sister Vaughn was assigned to the college in 1917, where she initially served as a registrar and chemistry professor before afterwards becoming dean and then being named the college's president. Four generations of her family have since graduated from Dominican, and she's legendary for her memory and remembering faces and names. Next is Sister Patrick Harney. Sister Patrick, I hear quite a few stories about Sister Patrick. She also had Siegfried the dog, who I'll talk about later. And she lived in the residence halls, is that correct? She lived in the residence halls. So the students really had quite a relationship with the Dominican sisters who lived in the residence hall, as you can imagine. Sister Samuel Conlin is the president from 1968 to 1980. She was the fifth president, and she's very beloved and very remembered by people today. Through her work in the field of education for over 40 years, Sister Samuel influenced the lives of scores of students. And as a president during her time, she transformed Dominican from an all-women's college into a co-ed institution in 1971. And as you know, Dominican's Recreation Center is dedicated to her name. And she was an English teacher, so it's not like she was an athlete. That shows you how beloved she was by the university. In 1980, we shifted from having sisters in charge of the university to a layperson, Dr. Barbara Bundy, and she was the president for 7 years. She earned her bachelor's degree at the age of 18, finished her doctorate at 22, and at 23 began teaching full-time at UC Berkeley. So she became a faculty member at Dominican, and then she became the Dominican's president for 2 years, or for 7 years. After that, sadly, we had kind of a tragedy occur. We had Dr. Neil Webb, who was the president for only a year, and he was the first male president of the university. And he served 6 months at Dominican, and sadly, him and his wife were killed in a plane crash. So Sister Aquinas Nimitz, who had done many different jobs on campus, actually was the acting president for a couple months before they found Joseph Fink, who then became president from 1988 to 2011. So he's the eighth president. And when Dr. Fink arrived in Dominican, enrollment was around 650 students. And by the time he left in 2010, enrollment was almost at 2,200. So in the time that he was here, he definitely grew the university. Quite a few different buildings were put up in that time. So the Conlin Rec Center, Edge Hill Village, the new residential village or resident on campus, the Science Center, the purchase of the Magnolia House, which is now where admissions is, and the renovation of this building where we are today, Edge Hill Mansion. So that's some history about the presidents of the university. And of course, today we have Mary Marcy, and her legacy is not yet complete as she is still with us. So today we have more than 60 academic programs, around 2,000. We're a little bit under that right now. And we're focused on providing a unique, exciting, and fun, distinct Dominican experience. So I have a couple pictures that have some, that show some of the differences between then and now. So this is a picture of Edge Hill Village back in its days when it was a residence hall, and this is the receiving room, the living room. And as you can see, the stained glass at the top where it has the flowers is the original stained glass that's also present there today. And I wanted to put a picture and that of Rabbi Schreibman doing our High Holy Days to show the diversity that's come forth in what we offer to students and what we provide in terms of spirituality and ways of diversity. So the picture on the left is a picture of gardens at Dominican, and I've been trying to talk to people about where this was, and I can't really place it. I was trying to tell by the trees, but not all of our trees have survived, although many of them have. If anybody knows where that is, you can let me know afterwards. It's obviously a bridge, maybe that did or didn't survive. And on the right is a picture of Meadowlands Lawn. Here's a picture of Guzman Lecture Hall when it was used to be the library for the university. And the quote at the bottom, it says, from the 1930s to the 1960s, the Guzman Lecture Hall is where the library was contained. But when books and reference materials started to outgrow and fill the rooms outside of Guzman, they were like, okay, we need a library. And that's when they started building Archbishop Alemany Library, which opened in 1963. And as you can see, even from those early pictures, we've grown quite a bit in having an art gallery on the bottom to having more spaces downstairs. And even now we're in creation, I think during the summer, to have some spaces renovated in the library for more use. So did you know that we used to have field hockey at Dominican when it was an all-girls school? Here's the students playing on the left, field hockey. And then on the right, our new field, Kennelly Field, where we have soccer and lacrosse play. Beautiful view. On the left is a picture taken directly out of one of the yearbooks from Dominican. The yearbooks used to be called the Firebrand. And if you ever have a chance to go to the library to ask our archivist if maybe you can check some of those out, or alumni on the third floor of Edge Hill Mansion also has some opportunities for you to see some of those yearbooks. Some of our current faculty and staff, you'll find them, like Paul Racanello, there's a whole yearbook where he's in school if you want to see some pictures of when he was a student. So as you can see, this is not in Conlin. This is in what you once referred to as the barn, and that used to be the gym. And on the side, you can see the volleyball players, one of our basketball players a couple years ago, hopefully making a dunk. I think that he made it. I'm not sure. And, of course, Chili the penguin. And one story about Chili is that some people ask us how we got a penguin as our mascot. And we used to be the hounds because the story of St. Dominic's mother dreaming about a hound with a torch in its mouth, setting the world on fire, is our history and heritage. But I don't know what year it was, but the students decided to vote on a new mascot. And I don't know if you've seen the Dominican sisters in full habit when they have their caplet and their whole head, what are they called?
Veil.
The veils on, and it has the black and then it's white. And what do they resemble? They resemble penguins. So our student body, the sisters were such a huge part of the university that even the choice of the mascot was something that reflected that heritage and that love. This is a picture from Bolinas, and if you have not been able to get out to a retreat over in Bolinas at the sisters' place, Campus Ministry hosts retreats, and if you ask alumni classes now if they have a sister in their class that they graduated with, they've been going to Bolinas since they were students. So there's a really long heritage. The chairs that are in Bolinas actually used to be the dining hall chairs from when there was a dining hall in this building or in Fanjo. In Fanjo. So where the bookstore is now is where an old dining hall used to be on campus. So academics have definitely always been a strong part of who we are since we are a college, and see the difference between the 60s and today. Calarega was built in 1959, so it's almost 50 years old. And the shield room, which is where all of the wooden shields are kept, if you look around, later today or later this week, you can see that they're placed all around the room. And it's a very long heritage that dates back to the 1930s. So just a couple other pictures of Calarega. Eating is a very big part of our life as Dominicans and as a college campus. It's kind of dark, but you can see that there's students eating in Calarega. And then this is a modern day scene from Thanksgiving. So numbers through the years. There was a question from last time's Heritage Talk about what have the numbers been like through the years. And as you can see, this is the class of 1961. I can't assume that this is everyone in the class, but I counted and it's about 75 people. And that's the class of 2017, this year's graduating class, and their freshman orientation, which is about 280 students, I would say. Here's a graph that shows some of our growth from 1997 all the way to 2016. And then I wrote our enrollment for this year, which is about 1,700 students. So if you can look at F00, that's when I came in as a freshman. And there's 1,480. And then when I graduated at F04, it was all the way up to 1,932. So campus grew a lot. At our largest, we were about 2,200 people. And now we're kind of going back to a smaller around, I think our kind of sweet spot is going to be about 2,000 or like 18 to 2,000 students on campus. And that's the undergrad and graduate. So I think from in the 1960s, it talked about how they were growing from about 750 students to 1,000 students. So we've always been, since our kind of like 60s and up, like 1,000 and more. This is the groundbreaking at Guzman. And before, students at every event, they used to wear their regalia. And now we don't do that, but that's one tradition. So Guzman was built in 1930. Here are some of the groundbreakings from different buildings that we've built on campus over the years. So Conlon Center, as you can see, they brought a little patch of dirt for them to break the ground. And that was in 2000, or that was in earlier than that, and then it opened in 2000. And then Edge Hill Village, which opened in 2002. And then the Science Building, which opened in 2007. So we've had incredible growth over the past 10 years. Lots of infrastructure. So reduce, reuse, and rebuild. Dominican has a really strong heritage of reusing different things on campus and rebuilding old buildings. I heard a story this semester at Lourdes that the hallways in Lourdes are actually wood from hallways of an older building that used to be on campus. So just imagine how many people have walked on those floors and continue to. The original stained glass windows of the Shields in the newly renovated Meadowlands Assembly Hall. And of course, there's Father Bob, looking awesome. Here's a picture of Edge Hill Mansion before it was renovated. It was pretty beat up. It was actually one of the buildings that people used to sneak into. Before you graduated, you're supposed to sneak into the building. That was kind of like a rite of passage. And then there it is today, looking beautiful and newly done. So old traditions, new traditions, and lost traditions. Annie Reed, who's the archivist in the library, we sat down and looked through quite a few pictures, and she explained to me what's going on in some of them. So the one on the far left with all the different sisters in different habits, they're actually having a fashion show of how the different Dominican habit has changed throughout the years. So maybe we can get the sisters to do another one sometime soon, right? Once at Dominican, this photo dated 1958 shows students eagerly sorting through the day's mail. Can anybody remember, does anybody recognize where that is? Yes? It's in Meadowlands, and that table is still there today. So imagine all the people who've gathered around that table. On the right top is actually students in Meadowlands preparing to go to a mixer or a formal. And then on the bottom, there were quite a few pictures from the class of 1960s doing junk band. I'm not quite sure what it was, but they would have different instruments that they created out of like brooms and different household items, and they would play. I mean, just college antics, right? Here is some of our different shields and things over the years. So you can see here's the dog with the torch in its mouth, the Dominican cross and shield, our athletics, a picture with the D and our penguin, and all these many different representations of how our university has changed. At the bottom, you'll see stained glass shields, as well as ones carved, and then how they first are conceived by the students, drawn out and framed. And the drawn out and framed ones are kept on the second floor of Edge Hill Mansion if you're ever curious to know what's coming up in the future for shields. So Shield Day is one of our oldest traditions. It dates back to the 1930s. And if you think about how much has been passed down through these shields, every senior class makes a shield for the freshman class. So that four-year cycle, if you go back and look at the stained glass, there should be some sort of element that carries through and cycles through all of these different things on our campus. So some lost traditions. I've heard some stories about a rose ceremony, which used to happen outside of Fanjo in the courtyard where the Statue of Mary is. And if a girl was engaged to be married, all of the women would come to the window and sing to her and then give her roses. And that would be kind of their farewell to her and their good luck to her. Festooning the campus, Father Bob let me in on this one. On Shield Day or before Shield Day, the students used to toilet paper the campus. But I don't think we don't do that anymore. I don't know if we want to encourage that. But There was also a St. George play. The pictures, a lot of the pictures that I've seen have taken place in Meadowlands Assembly Hall. And I don't know that much history about where that came from, but it was something that the students used to do every year, and it was looked forward to very much. The hood ceremony is a ceremony where we used to have the hoods for academic regalia, and it would be a ceremony that happened before commencement, before graduation, where you would actually have people that would come and ceremoniously put your hood on. And that kind of disappeared, and now people just have their hoods, and now I think we're not going to have hoods anymore at all. So things change a lot, and sometimes rapidly, and sometimes slowly on our campus. Class songs and colors. If you ever have a chance, actually, please just go to your alumni reunions when you graduate, or if your faculty and staff attend, because the classes that had class songs are kind of dying out now. There's the 1960s, 1970s, and 1980s had class songs. I don't know if that carried on into the 90s at all, but they actually used to either write a class song or replace words from current songs to make it stand for their class. And they had class colors as well. So it was kind of a different kind of spirit on campus. And they had drinking songs, as Father Bob is, he's doing the drinking motion to me. So I think that those types of things are kind of carried on, but not in official sense, I think. But it's really beautiful to hear the older classes sing their class songs, because they all stand up and they all remember it, and it's something that made their Dominican experience very memorable and exciting. So memorable DU moments. All right, I'm going to have to kind of... So I posted something on my Facebook about what are some things that you remember about being a Dominican student, and I got some really fun responses that I wanted to share. Met my best man, wedding this summer, on the library lawn during freshman orientation. There is a really great story from an alumni named Jenny Miller, and she was doing a project about a dwarf redwood tree that's out behind the bridge behind Guzman. And when she was researching it, she found out that Sister Aquinas, actually, the story was that her father had given her that tree on a trip. And what she says and what's written there is that she kept it on her balcony on a small pot at first, and at night, to protect it from the frost, she would cover it with her stocking. And it's still there. I didn't go check, but Jenny graduated with me, and she said the last time she checked, it was still there. So little things like that that are beautiful stories, you know, and you would never know if maybe you hadn't asked, because it's part of somebody's unique Dominican experience. So people mentioned Trick or Treat for Canned Goods, San Francisco caroling, and Christmas tree lighting. Of course, at the top, fire alarms and the flood of 2003. And that is obviously something that we continued, because we also had a great flood this year in the residence halls. All about the haunted house. And of course, on the bottom, there are some stories about our ghost stories on campus and mention of Blue Boy. I'm not going to tell that story because I don't have enough time, but there was another story that I had never heard before, and it was that there was a boy that lived in Edge Hill Mansion, and at night when you were walking up the hill, or if you lived and your window faced this way, you could hear him bouncing his ball on the hill. Ooh, I never heard that one before. So I hear there are puppies on campus today, and so it's fitting that we can talk about some of our past campus animals that were very beloved. Siegfried the dog, if you ever wondered about where the painting of the dog in Meadowlands comes from, it dates back and is reminiscent back to when the sisters stole Sister Patrick. Sister Patrick was the president of the university that I mentioned before. She had Siegfried the dog, and they stole him on St. Patrick's Day, and they dyed him green. So I think they got in trouble for it. And so fitting, because St. Patrick's Day just passed. But these were all animals that, when the sisters lived on campus, you know, it was all their home. So Penny and Penefort, there was a dog that lived there. And she was found in Bolinas, and they brought her home, and she became a staple at Dominican. And then Trina in Meadowlands was also owned by one of the sisters. So cute, oh, is it? Trina, is that what it is? Trina from Meadowlands. Sister Joseph owned her. And here are some pictures of the dog being painted. If you're a senior this year, you need to get on it because the dog hasn't been painted yet this year, I don't think. So here are some ideas. And usually it's done in the dead of night when nobody is watching and you try and do it in secret. And you go and buy spray paint or paint and you are stealthy and thief-like. Don't try to move it. It actually goes in about 2 feet. So just a word of advice. I heard, goes in 2 feet. I think one of the continued traditions and continued pieces about being Dominican is that there is a Dominican family. And that extends out into Dominican in an international level. If you were ever traveling and you need some place to stay or you need some people to show you around, ask the sisters, and I'm sure they know somebody in that country and there are Dominicans that you can touch base with. But it's also something on our campus, like Dominican really does embody a family for people. I've definitely heard stories from students that have said that, you know, they grew up in a different place, but they really consider Dominican to be their home. And there's a picture of Sister Marie, if you've ever taken a Sister Marie class, down at the bottom here, speaking with some students. And people gathered in front of Calarega, you know, sunbathing. Our picture from our Dominican pool night, which is now starting to be a tradition here for our students, our current students. And Sister Carla up in the left with some graduating students. So I just wanted to put a couple more traditions that have become a part of who we are. Thanksgiving dinner, we always say that it's the best meal of the year. Students come back that live off campus, and that's one place where everyone really gathers and celebrates. And we have our Christmas caroling and tree lighting. So the Christmas caroling tradition has changed over the years. It used to be that they would go and process to the sisters, and then they would sing back and forth to each other. And I think that's what's happening in this picture right here with the candles. Now it's a gathering in Angelical Hall where the different clubs choose Christmas carols. They lead Christmas carols, and then we go outside, and four seniors who have been selected as people who embody the Dominican ideals are the ones that turn the lights on. And of course, the Christmas social that goes along with it, put on by ASDU. They used to also do cable car caroling in San Francisco for a long time, where we would bus everybody into San Francisco. We would all crowd onto a cable car bus, and we would probably sing Feliz Navidad like 30 times. And then at the top of the hill, we would sing Silent Night. So that's something that a lot of students remember, I think, from a certain like 20-year time period. So legacy of education. Once a penguin, always a penguin. As you can see, the award that's being given, this was last year, is the Veritas Cup. And Veritas means truth. And this award is to the friend of the class. And this is a long time tradition as well. The seniors select a fellow student who represents and is the friend of the class. I don't know who the other student is from the old time picture, but that's over by Fanjo. And here are just some pictures of graduations over the past. Commencement day in the 30s, and then I think I almost have 30s, 40s, 50s, and then this bottom is like the 70s, 80s, and then that's more recent. So the topic of today's talk is growing strong, and when I was thinking about like what makes us strong, and I was searching through pictures and looking at different, you know, reminiscing about different things that we've done in the past, one thing that really stood out to me was, you know, we are as strong as our history and our connections. And Dominican is a huge network that dates back to the 11th century. So we're really, really ancient and old and rich. And it continues with the Dominican family, and it extends to our own story. So each one of us is creating this strong Dominican story that is interconnected. The story of all Dominican graduates, teachers, staff, families, and communities that have come before. Our strength continues with you and with everyone who considers themselves a part of who we are and who we will become. Our lineage is our strength, and staying in touch with what makes us unique, what makes us special, what makes us Dominican University, perseveres throughout these many years. So I put some flyers of some different events that have been held on campus over the years. So Soul Candy, which is a humanities event that showcases our students' talents and different ways that they, you know, spoken word, singing, poetry, dance, cultural exchange. ASDU now does issues of social concern, and this is the second year that they've been doing these, and it's really been able to, I think, raise our campus awareness, and it's something that the students are really spearheading up, and they're really concerned about, like, what is it today that we need to be addressing as a student population? Our Black Student Union doing Black History Month, Islam Awareness Week, and then service. And to me, these really embody our Dominican ideals, study, community reflection, and service, and the way that we live them out every single day. So what makes us strong? All of these different stories, all of these different practices that we have, the way that we form who we are as a community, and of course, how we live that out each day, and how we teach our students to live that out. So I hope that you've gotten a stronger sense of the richness of what we are here at Dominican University. We are the only Dominican university west of the Mississippi, other than maybe one that's kind of close on the border. But you know, we really hold it strong over here on the West Coast. And my hope is that we don't water down our Dominican roots. We continue to really show that as a strength of the university, that our history, you know, was one of the first Catholic colleges to give a bachelor's degree to women, that we continue to, you know, do research for cancer and for, you know, sudden oak death and all these different amazing things that are happening on our campus. And just a challenge to pay a little bit more attention to our accomplishments and what we've done in the past, and to hold on to those things as well. So thank you very much.